And our first, so you probably don't need to open your Bible. I'm going to be hitting a lot of, I have this tilted. Now, can you see this, Adolf? Can you see the screen? Yes, okay. So I'm going to be looking at a lot of scriptures, but David's going to get them for us. I'm using King James on my sheet, so I'll probably read from here because it's just a little bit different. Looks like I covered the wrong way. So I have two verses here. For us to start with, okay? James 4:2. You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. King James says, you have not because you ask not. Okay? So rather than us grasping and trying to take and trying to get, we need to pray to God. We need to not covet. That's one of the Ten Commandments. God is consistent that way. Coveting, trying to take, trying to get. Well, maybe we should ask the Lord for what we need. This is consistent in Scripture, okay? You have not because you ask not. Often praying is like it's the last resort. No, that needs to be the first thing that we do is to pray. And let's see, the NIV, which I don't particularly like, but it had a good here, the NIV, Nearly Inspired Version, says, you do not have because you do not ask God, is what it says, okay? Now, can we go to Matthew 7? Verses 9 through 11. This is my other main scripture for today's message. Or what man is there of you whom his son... are you there? Yes, okay. What man is there of you whom his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven... give good things to them that ask him. Now, I'm going to be speaking to the children during part of this because we have so many children here today. But if you had your choice for dinner, okay, and cookie cake, cookies, cakes, pie, and ice cream, or broccoli, some kind of meat, you're not sure what it is, and then some potatoes and cauliflower, okay? So which would you choose? Which would you want? What do you think? Anyone under 18 want to answer? What do you think? Oh, yeah, that's the answer. Wait a minute. What's going on around here? Okay, so sometimes what we want, this isn't working out so well so far, is it? Sometimes what we want and what we need are different things. We tend, even as adults, we tend to want comfort. Lord, I pray for everything to go good for me. That's often not what God wants for us. He wants us to become more mature, to develop the fruits of the Spirit. That's what God wants for us. So, but if we ask God, God, I need this, I want this. His thoughts are so much higher than us. We should ask, and then if He doesn't answer, okay. Or if He gives us something different, that's what maybe was best for us. Not maybe. That's what was best for us in the first place anyway. Okay. We need to trust the Lord. Who among you, verse 10, if you ask for a fish, will he give him a serpent? Of course not, right? And we are evil. We're not good. God is. So what we ask for from the Lord, the gifts that he gives us, the things he entrusts to us. I'm going to be quoting some scriptures that aren't in part of my thing here. But to whom the Lord, to whom much is given. Yes, Kathy, yes. Much will be required, right? And that's true. We're all Americans. Wow, we are blessed compared to most of the world, compared to most times in history. I don't want to get off on that. I was going to say, I'm absolutely wealthy. I have this box in my kitchen, and it keeps food cold and ready, and the other side keeps it frozen. I mean, isn't that stunning? You think of most of human history, most of what people have had, we have so much to be thankful for. We have our first world problems, which aren't very much. Okay. Can we go to 2 Samuel 12:8, please? Now, this is David after he had sinned. And God says some things to him. So Nathan comes to him, says there's a man who stole from this other man, the poor man. What shall be done to him, right? And he says, you are that man. Ow, that hurts. But here's in 12:8, second half. And if that had been too little, I would have given you more things, right? If that had been too little, I also would have given you much more. Isn't that an amazing statement? He's king of Israel. That's a pretty good gig if you can get it. Being king or president or something like that, you know. Where are the pomegranates? Hurry up. Okay, whatever it is, right? Okay. God would have given him more. So I consider this related to the first verse I said, you have not because you ask not. We need to ask. Now, we're going to tend to ask selfishly what we want, what we think we need, what we want. But we need to try to do, we need to pray rather than trying to covet and grasp what we want that others may have. 1 Kings 3:9. Now, this is Solomon. In a dream, God asked Solomon, you know, what do you want? He's going to be king of Israel. And Solomon prays to God, give therefore your servant an understanding heart to judge this people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? Okay? And God then answers him, verse 13, go down just a little bit here. It pleased the Lord, verse 10, and then verse 13, because you have asked for this, I'm going to give you all these other things also, riches and honor and so many other things. We should ask God. Now, I have learned, by the way, to ask, if you're going to pray for patience or gentleness or kindness or any of those things, I have learned to pray, say, God, gently teach me kindness. Gently teach me patience. I'm serious. Because he'll want to teach you. And it's like, oh, my goodness, I need to be more. So I want to become more Christ-like, but sometimes it can be your car breaks down. It can be all kinds of things that start going wrong. Your computer starts having problems. Anyway, so we need to ask for what God wants us, how God wants us to become more Christ-like and stuff. But God doesn't always answer our prayers. I've already said that. According to what we want. And in fact, there are churches out there that teach, you know, you need to have faith and you need to pray. We tend to call that name it and claim it. Okay, name it and claim it, or blab it and grab it. So we go to Mark 14:35. This is Jesus praying. Okay, Jesus is in Gethsemane. And he went forward a little. Let's see, Mark 14:35. 35 and 36, Jesus, he's in Gethsemane, went forward a little, fell on the ground, and prayed that if it was possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup for me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will, what thou wilt. Okay? Even Jesus, when he's praying to the Father, he's praying for a certain thing. Take this cup from me. But the Father, in his wisdom, this is what had to happen. This is why he came, was to die for our sins. But Jesus is praying. He even sweated blood, it tells us in Scripture. Wow, isn't that incredible? So sometimes what we need to pray for things. We need to ask. God the Father will not always answer for what we need. And I want to hit one thing on the side here. Back up in 35, he fell on the ground. Our posture when praying, this is actually kind of something interesting in Scripture. Acts 9:40. So standing, sitting, kneeling, this is Acts 9:40. Peter put them all out, knelt down and prayed. So kneeling is a form of Jesus fell on his face prostrate before God, kneeled down and prayed. Acts 20:36. That was Peter. And here's Paul, if I recall correctly. When he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. Okay, so kneeling. Next, Psalm 28:2, please. He's still in there. Okay. There we go. Okay, hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee. I will lift up my hands. Lift up my hands towards the holy oracle. One more verse here on this. 1 Timothy 2:8. 1 Timothy 2:8, please. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. 1 Timothy 2:8. Why is that different? Lifting up holy hands. Oh, there it is. Yeah, I'm sorry, without wrath. I didn't put the rest of the verse there. Okay, so without lifting up holy hands. Okay, so standing, sitting, kneeling, or even on our face praying before God. I just wanted to mention that as part of when we're asking God. Sometimes our problems are so dire, so urgent. We need to be praying. Okay, now going back to our main subject here, 2 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 7. This is where St. Paul is praying about his thorn in the flesh. Okay? There was 12, okay, starting in 7b, second half. There was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So we like being strong, being in control. God wants us to have him in control. We don't like that. Our natural man doesn't like that. We like us being in control. But it is important that we submit to the Lord. Maturity in Christianity is not being independent. It's being more dependent on the Father. Jesus falls on his face. Oh, my goodness. He's as high as you can go, son of the Father, right? Okay, so, but he understood it much more than us, how much we need to be humble and to come to God and ask for help. Okay, now, actually, I'm going to stop here. Is there anyone who has any questions? Is there anything I've said that hasn't made sense so far, since we're a small group? Is there anyone who has any questions or any concerns? Bob, yes. Yeah. He does. Yes, that's true. Yes, yes. So bowing our head or looking up. Yes. Okay, that's a good point. So he fell headfirst into the well, and yeah, there was. Okay, that's one more posture then. So okay, sounds good. Okay, thank you, Bob. Okay, John 9, verses 1-3. Now, okay, so I'll read the verses, then we'll talk here. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, now this is such an assumption. His disciples asked him, saying, Master, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man sinned nor his parents, but the works of God should be manifest in him. Now, the reason I bring this up is when someone has problems, we have a tendency to think, oh, they're in sin or they must have disobeyed God. No, not necessarily. In fact, it could be quite the opposite. For those whom the Lord loves, he chastises. I'll tell you, I've had some. Actually, this is a question I've asked in some churches. I don't remember if I've asked it here in our congregation. Who does God love more, Bill Gates or you? Okay, let's add a verse with this. For whom the Lord loves, he chastises. Okay, now who does God love more, Bill Gates or you? He must love me a lot. Right? This time on earth is not life. It is preparation for life. It is a temporary time of learning and testing. And we go on from this life. Are you wheat or are you chaff? Some of the people who have the most comfortable lives, okay, they're chaff. They're going to be thrown away at the end. I'm sorry. They're going to be thrown away at the end of this life. In the I didn't put this in my notes here, but the rich man and Lazarus. We don't even know the rich man's name. It's not important what happened to him. Lazarus is comforted. The rich man who had everything in this life, had it all comfortable and spent it on himself, kept his comfort. Okay, he's then gone. And then related to this also, in the modern world, there are many cultures where they believe this. When I lived in Japan for 5 years, some of you know that. I lived in Tokyo, Japan. And if someone has a bad accident or a bad disease, there is a tendency to believe, oh, they must have done something wrong. Have you heard of instant karma? You've seen the YouTube videos or something like that. Instant karma. Well, okay, that's a belief that's out there in the world. But it debilitates the people. I won't go into detail. I had a friend who was hit by a taxi and was in the hospital for a while. And as some of the people who are in the hospital long term, they get so discouraged because others think, oh, they must have done something wrong. Talk about kicking someone when they're down. You know what I mean? I mean, gee whiz, you know, they're already down. It's like, You know, why don't you think of Job, Job's friend. Why don't you admit what you did wrong? You know, why don't you just admit it? You still want to be in sin, huh? I see. Okay. Okay, right? But anyway, this is just common in Singapore. Okay, I don't want to talk about this. Okay, excuse me. But it is common in several cultures in the world that if you're get crippled or something wrong, it's because you did something or some your parents did something that there's a there's something wrong there, and that's just not necessarily true. Luke 13:4. Then this builds on that. And then we're going to kind of go back to our main theme here. Luke 13:4. So there was a tower that fell. They were building a tower, and of those eight, so Jesus says, or those 18, upon whom the tower of Siloam, am I pronouncing that right? Siloam? Do you think it's Siloam? Okay. Siloam fell and slew them. Think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you nay, I tell you no, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Sometimes bad things happen. Good things happen, bad things happen. Okay, a tower fell on these 18 guys. It's not necessarily that they deserved it, that they were the worst sinners. That's what Jesus said here, right? Okay, now, one other thing. This is actually one more scripture along these lines. Acts 28:3-4, please. Okay, Acts 28:3-4. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks, laid it on the fire, there came a snake or a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw that the venomous beast hung on his hand, they said among themselves, "No man, no doubt this man is a murderer. Though he has escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." And then Paul shook the beast off into the fire and felt no harm. Kind of funny. This is an interesting story. But there's just the assumption that he must have done something wrong to deserve that. No, not necessarily. Okay. Now, I'd like to transition to my PowerPoint slides, please, for just a couple minutes here. Just a few minutes. Okay, next one, please. There we go. So as Bob mentioned last week, St. Paul was always asking for and advising prayer. So this is a bunch of scriptures. If you want these PowerPoints or you want my notes later, of course I'll give them to you if you'd like them. But here's several. I put, and possibly Hebrews 13, because we don't know who wrote Hebrews. If it was Paul, then this adds to his. Otherwise, it's someone else. And then next slide, please. Children. Okay, we have so many kids here today. So many young people, okay, who are here today. What are the things you should be praying for? I'll tell you what. You should be praying for your parents. You should pray for those scoundrels. I mean, for your brothers and sisters. I'm sorry. What I meant to say was for those loving brothers and sisters of yours, right? Who you almost always get along with, and they started it if something goes wrong, right? Okay, you know what I'm talking about? Pray for your brothers and sisters. When you become adults, which is a lot longer than when you're kids, okay? When you become adults, you're going to be a team. Maybe you can't see that today because you're kind of competing with each other and things like that. But your brothers and sisters, one might become a dentist. One might become an attorney. One might become a real estate, all kinds of things. But you're going to be able to help each other in life. And again, maybe you can't see that now, but pray for your brothers and sisters, okay? That's an important thing to do. Pray for your future marriage if you're going to get married, okay? Pray for whoever that life partner is going to be. This is very important. People kind of assume things. No, we need to pray. We need to pray for this, okay? Pray for your future life or career. What is one of the most important careers a person can have? Okay, maybe pastor, priest, or something like that. But I was thinking of motherhood. I was actually thinking of mothers. You are raising children. You're raising souls for the future. I mean, and so anyway, your future life, your adult life, how you interact with others, one of the most important things is the children and the nieces and nephews and others in your life. And also for yourself, pray to become more Christ-like. Okay? So this is something that you should I would contend, pray for. But make it part of what you want to do. If there's things that you want or need, Lord, I need a new bicycle. Okay, well, the Lord may not bless you with that, but why not pray for it if you need one, okay? Lord, I need to be stronger so my brother doesn't... okay, never mind. Okay, let's see. Okay, but these pray. Come to God and ask for help, okay? This should be natural for us, and I'm encouraging you to do that, okay? Next slide, please. Okay, for all of us, the Bible encourages us to pray for certain things. We're not always attuned to this, but it is the Bible says certain things we need to pray for. If any of you lack wisdom, which is true for a guy like me, ask. Yeah, I got somebody here in the front row here helping me out. Oh, I'm sorry, Tess. Okay. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Okay, and it shall be given him. I pray for wisdom probably almost every day. I do. That's just one of the things that I pray for because I just see that I need wisdom. Okay, next slide, please. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Isn't that interesting? It says that in Scripture. So I'm reminding you, we were grafted in, us Gentiles. Now, I know that we have different views on Bible prophecy, but Scripture does say, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Okay? That's what it says. Okay? Next slide, please. We should pray for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. We have at the federal, state, local level, we have many different people who are elected or not elected or appointed, and we should pray for them. We should pray for judges. We should pray for police. We should pray for just sometimes. Pray for these people. Are they behaving honorably or not? Well, maybe we need to pray for them more. They have so many temptations, so many things that can go wrong. I've done in my life, I don't want to get off track here too much, but I've done 3 different police ride-alongs where I've spent an evening with a police officer in the car. What do they do? What's going on? What do they do? And most people are normal people. Others are, they get pulled over and they've got any excuse. You try to give an excuse to them, they're so used to hearing people give excuses. Oh, and that turn blinker? That must have just gone out half an hour ago because it was working before. Whatever it is, okay, whatever the person is pulled over for. But and then they just get hit with stuff. They see people at their worst. Imagine a domestic dispute or something like this, and this officer has to take it or has to figure out what do we do? What's the right thing to do? Pray for these people, okay? Teachers at schools. The 2 homeschooling families are here both doing homeschooling, but some of the teachers at school who we entrust children to, we need to pray for those teachers. Oh, my goodness, some of the things that are taught in the schools these days. It's pretty incredible. Okay, next slide, please. Now, pray for protection from deceptions. In my opinion, we are probably in the worst era of deceptions in the history of humanity. We tend to think, oh, we got the world's news. We know what's going on. We're the most informed people. No, maybe in some ways, but maybe not. 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out in the world. This is true on a religious level. This is true on a political level. This is true on a financial level. How many times do you hear financial news and they're trying to convince the average people to do the exact opposite of what the market's about to do? I'm sorry, it's not funny. But I mean, there are so many deceptions out there in the world. There really are. We need to pray. I believe that we need to pray for protection from deceptions. God, help me to keep me from being deceived. I have this on here. Oh, I have this in a minute here. Next one here. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils or doctrines of demons. This is frightening, folks. If a person is under a deception, they may not know it. They may have no idea. Our friend Randy here, Randy Shelton, that's one of his fortes, is the New Age movement, the various cults out there. It's a hard ministry. There's so many deceptions out there. And people get into these cults, get into these weird groups, and then they either can't get out or don't see their way out. We need to pray for yourself and pray for those around you about deceptions that are out there. Please, I'm going to pause again. Is there anyone who has any questions or comments or anything I've said that doesn't make sense? Yes, Kathy. Yes. Can you give me an example, or what do you mean? Oh, right. Oh, excuse me. I meant that when I said cults. Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormonism, or Scientology. These are all different. These are out there. Scientology was actually started by a science fiction writer, Hubbard. Not the telescope, the man. Okay. Hubbard. L. Ron Hubbard. That's his name. He was a science fiction writer in the 50s. And many people quoted saying, you know how to really make it, and that's to start your own religion. And he started Scientology. But I mean, yeah, but there's Jehovah's Witnesses out there. And these people are in these cults, and they don't realize Jehovah's Witnesses even have their own Bible that's been corrupted. There's verses in there that have been changed. I showed that to some, I was witnessing to some Jehovah's Witnesses several years ago. I had my King James Bible, and they were looking at their Bible, and they were getting kind of nervous. I wasn't trying to be mean. It's just that, no, your Bible is not just like the King James. It has many things there, but it's hard to know all these things. Oh yes. Political. You know, that's a hard one. Thank you. I don't want to go off too much on this, but we're a wide variety here, okay? And maybe we shouldn't get into political things, but there are either conservative or liberal. There's a group, I'm sorry for even saying this, but QAnon, if you've heard of it, Q. And I've heard some of this stuff, and it's like, oh my goodness. I mean, it's just, and it goes on and on. And it's like, let me repeat my thing. We need to pray for protection from deceptions. Whether you're conservative, whether you're liberal, whether you're moderate, wherever you're at, one thing is we should thank God for our blessings. We have the right to vote. We have the right to choose our leaders. Most of the world, most times in history, they have never had that right. Oh my goodness, we should be thankful. Pray that you make the right choice, the best choices for who are, and actually consider running for office. I've run for office a couple times. You kids, later in your lives, in the future, consider that idea of running for office. Yes, Nina? Yes. Yes. Wow. Sure. Thank you for mentioning that, Nina. Yeah, that actually, I mentioned like in Japan, but there's a tendency in our culture that people go, oh, something bad happened. So, oh, you must have done something where you need to repent. Job, going back 4,000 years, his friends, right, telling him, you know, you need to repent of what you did wrong, Job, right? I mean, down through history, even till today, and even within our culture, the scripture, though, is clear. When I mentioned like the Tower of Siloam, right, 18 people died. It's not that they were worse sinners. Jesus then brought it back to the thing, unless you repent, you've got to repent this life. Bad things happen. We have the opportunity to become more mature, and what a blessing it is. Count it all a joy when you encounter various temptations or various tribulations, various trials, I think is the most common one. Count it all a joy. That's often the opposite of our thing, but so we need to stick to Scripture in that. Does someone say something? Steve, say? Yes, okay, amen. Can I get an amen? Okay, sounds good. Okay, so we need to pray for, yes, Jim. Yeah. Yes, within our societies of good and bad things that can happen to a city, to an area. Right now, there's so many areas that have so much heat in Europe, in China, in America, and so there's crops that are being threatened, right? So this is a, so yeah, so the drought falls on the just and the unjust, or it can. So okay, next slide. I can't remember. This is my last slide. That's it. Okay, can we go back to the Bible, please? And we want to go to Genesis 3. Now, I mentioned about the Genesis 3:13. I mentioned about deceptions. Pray for protection from deceptions. This is something that occurred to me recently. I don't know why it didn't occur to me before. But once I hit it, it was like, oh my goodness. Adam and Eve sinned. Okay, they were operating under a deception. And so God comes, he says, did you eat of the tree? And then Adam and Eve, you know, say, basically the woman who you gave me. And then Eve says, the serpent deceived us. And then God said, oh, well, because you were deceived, I'm going to give you a pass this time. Oh, wait a minute. That's not what it says. Because you have done this. So verses 13, the Lord said to the woman, what have you done? The serpent deceived me. So we have judgment on the serpent and on the man and on the woman. So even if you're operating under a deception, this is very, very serious. This is precedent being set, right? If you operate under a deception, we're still going to be accountable for that, okay? And there's actually two exceptions. One of them I'm going to mention here, Luke 23:34, and that's because Jesus prayed it. Luke 23:34, Jesus said, then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, that's just interesting, isn't it? If he hadn't prayed them, would they have been held fully accountable for killing the Son of God, right? I mean, they didn't know what they were doing. And Jesus prays that. I didn't put the one in Stephen, the first Christian martyr. I didn't put this in my notes here, but he also prayed that when they're killing him, the stoning. He says, Father, please don't hold this sin on their account, something like that. So we have so much that we can be held accountable for that we have to be careful of. Okay, now I need to not talk too much longer here, but I want to talk briefly about two things. I'm mostly just going to quote scriptures. They're controversial, but I'm quoting scriptures. Too bad for you if it disagrees with what you believe. Okay, one is creation theory. I'm just going to hit it briefly. And the gifts of the Spirit. So one of my fortes, the gospel is what's most important. But I'm the editor of one of the major creation webpages. And that's creationism.org. It's in about 100 languages. I'm just saying that just so you know that's part of my background. And you can't do it anymore. But I used to speak on universities sometimes and things like that. And I've spoken here before about creation theory. Creation theory has a lot of evidence. This debilitates the church when people believe that the Bible's not true. When people believe that the beginning of the Bible needs to be compromised, it then damages your understanding of the Bible as a whole. If any of you need DVDs or you want to talk afterwards or some other time, I'll be glad to talk about creation evolution or give a class on it or something. The other thing I want to talk about is the gifts of the Spirit, because this is after the Gospels, coming into the rest of the New Testament, the gifts of the Spirit are one of the things that are talked about and that are assumed. Okay? So, can we go to John 20:22, please? And mostly I'm going to quote the scriptures. Okay? So, John 20:22. And so, Jesus has risen from the dead. They're in the room. And when Jesus had said this, he breathed on them. That's just interesting, isn't it? He breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Isn't that interesting? I'm sorry. It's a detail that's there. Okay? He breathed on them. It relate in a way, one could contend that relates back to Genesis, the breath of life. Right? Coming in. And then in John chapter 1, let's go there. John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. For humans, after Adam and Eve, every human is in the Old Testament is son of man, son of man, son of man, son of man, until the New Testament, until the price had been paid. then it's Son of God. To them he gave power to become sons of God. A qualitative difference. I can't say I understand that, but it's there. It's in Scripture, okay? Even that to them that believe on his name. When Jesus is dying on the cross and he says, "It is finished," the curtain separating the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple was torn in two. A qualitative difference. Something had changed spiritually, okay? Next, please go to Acts 8:5, please. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Then go down to verse 12. So he preaches to them. Verse 12. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized. So this is water baptism, both men and women. And then verse 14, actually two more verses down. But they hadn't received what is called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So this is the Samaritans first coming to know the Lord. So they sent down Peter and John. So when they were come, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet, it says there is parentheses in my Bible. For as yet it was fallen on none of them, only they were baptized in the name of Lord Jesus. Then laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. Okay. Next verse, 1 Corinthians 14:18. I love this verse. It's kind of funny. I just think it's funny because people, we read it and it's like, I don't want to read that. It says, "I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all." Now, the Baptist version, if we were a Baptist church, which we're not, is, "I thank God I don't speak in tongues at all." The Baptist version, okay, of the thing there. Okay. 1 Corinthians 12:31a. But earnestly desire, but covet the best gifts. Covet earnestly the best gifts, it says. Okay? Now, I know there are people who believe that it ended at the time of the apostles, but I'm reading Scripture to you. Okay? Now let's go to Acts 10:44, please. And again, I know this is controversial. I understand that. It's very controversial. Acts 10:44. But while Peter spoke, so this is in the house of Cornelius. So this is the first time when the Gentiles, Cornelius was a Roman citizen, and Peter was sent there to speak to them. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them that heard the word. Bam. And then Acts 10:47. Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Spirit as well as us, as well as we. Okay? So, and then Acts 1:5. I'm almost done with all these things here. Then we're going to summarize here. Acts 1:5. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. There is precedent for the gifts of the Spirit. The Bible says, seek the gifts. St. Paul says, "I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all." This is a challenge to us. And it also says, despise not prophesying. Isn't that interesting? We have to be told to not despise prophecies. I just find that very interesting. I want to go back to one of our two main verses. That's Matthew 7:9-11. Please. Thank you, David. You're really fast here. Okay, for what man is there among you, when his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts to asking him? Now, the reason I'm reminding you of this verse is if you ask for, even if your theology is, God doesn't do that anymore, well, why not ask if you want the best gifts? We're told in Scripture to do that. We're told to do that. We can see examples in the book of Acts where baptism in water is different than first receiving the Holy Spirit. Remember when Jesus breathed on them in John 20:20, he breathed on them, received the Holy Spirit. That's different than baptism in the Holy Spirit. And then the Samaritans, when they had accepted Christ, they were baptized in water. They hadn't received the baptism of the Spirit yet, so they sent Peter and John. Okay? So I want to encourage you to consider and pray that. I know it's very controversial. I believe it debilitates the church when we don't have the gifts of the Spirit, and so many churches have become closed to that. Okay, so to summarize, King David, God encouraged him. If you'd wanted more, why didn't you pray for more? We need to be praying. We need to be asking God for the things that we need, for the things that we want. Solomon, in 1 Kings 3, you don't need to go there. Actually, go to Exodus 4:10, please. But I'll mention that Solomon prayed for wisdom. We need to pray for the things, you know, protection from deception, so many things. And then in Exodus 4:10, Moses says unto the Lord, this is Moses, right? Oh, Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither therefore, nor since thou hast spoken to thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. I'm a guy, for those of you who know me, my mind jumps all around. I have a very hard time doing public speaking. It's true. I know that about myself. I jump all... Yeah, it's true. Yeah, thanks, Steve, for the confirmation. Really? Oh, is that true about you, Paul G? None of us have noticed. I'm sorry. Okay, let's see. So, a slow tongue. And so you can appeal to God. You can ask God for help. In verse 14, a few verses down, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. We can only whine for so long, okay? You can whine only so much. God, yeah, I know you want me to do such and such, but what about this instead? The anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. Okay, so God sends Aaron with Moses. Moses asked, and he kind of was asking maybe too much, but he was pushing, and so Aaron then joined Moses in confronting the Pharaoh and the other things that they needed to do. Genesis 4, verse 13, please. So this is Cain. Cain, there's several examples in Scripture. I'm just hitting a few here, okay? 4:13, and Cain said to the... So he's killed his brother. He killed Abel. And now God is saying, this is what's going to happen to you because you have done this. Your brother's blood cries to me from the ground. Not his body, his blood, which is a very interesting distinction there. I'm not going to go into it. Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Verse 15a, the Lord said unto him, okay, therefore, whoever slays Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. Okay? Okay, so ouch. Okay, so anyway, so we have God hears our prayers. Even if you've sinned, even if you've done sin, still come to God, ask for forgiveness, ask for help, admit what you've done wrong, and try to get back to where we need to be and appeal to God. James 4:2. Got just a couple more scriptures here, then we're done. And at the very end, this is the first verse I started with. We're just going to read the end. You have not because you ask not. We need to ask God for what we need, what we think we need. He knows better than us what we need. You ask God, what do I want for dinner? And you say, oh, God, would you please, could we have broccoli for dinner, right? As I got, okay, sorry. Okay, now, here's a very interesting verse. I read this and was like, why have I never noticed this before? Luke 24:35. When I read this, when I was preparing for this, it was like, why have I never noticed this before? Luke 24:45. And so Jesus says, he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Isn't that interesting? I think that's another thing we should pray for. Lord, please open my understanding to the scriptures. Please gently open my understanding to the scriptures. Okay, that's what I would recommend you do. But he opened their understanding. How many times did Jesus tell his disciples, I have to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to be killed? And they didn't get it. They didn't get it. How many times do we read the Bible and we don't get it? This is something we should pray for. Lord, gently please increase my understanding of the scriptures. Okay, Matthew 16:17, please. And and Jesus answered, Matthew 16:17. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed are you, Simon, For flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Now this, I believe, relates to the previous, that verse I just gave you here. He opened their understanding. It's not our intellect. It is spiritual. Something spiritual is happening when you come to the realization, come to the understanding, wait a minute, I need to repent, I need to follow the Lord. And the Lord wants to hear our prayers. Just a couple more here. Actually, I'll just read these verses. We don't need to go through them. I know I'm holding you here a long time. 1 Peter 3:12a, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. He wants to hear our prayers. James 5:17, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Wow! First thing it says here, he's just like us. He was a human being, just like us. Okay. Acts 14:15. I'll just read this again. This is Paul writing. So these guys are saying, oh, Paul is Mercury and Barnabas is Jupiter. And Paul comes in and tears his clothes, which is a very serious thing to do to Jewish people. Sirs, why do you do these things? We are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven, the earth, and seas that all within them. They were not gods, and these people they're preaching to, they're getting the wrong message. They're not understanding it. So we need to, when you come to God, I would recommend you need to praise the Lord, thank the Lord, and then come with your petitions, what it is you want. If you think of the Lord's Prayer, which is just one example, our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. Hallowed be thy name. Praise God. Don't just immediately say, gimme, gimme, gimme. I want, I want, I want. I really think we need to come to God and be thankful, first of all. Okay, praising God and being thankful to them. Okay? Now, any questions, any of the questions, comments, or concerns? Anything, Bob, that I said that didn't make sense here? Yes. 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 Yeah, you're talking about Romans 1? Is that where you're kind of going to? Or? Oh, okay. Yeah, the deceptions. Our level of responsibility, when I lived in Berkeley for 5 years, that was about 18, 20 years ago, I spoke to atheist groups, and one of the first things they say is God is not fair. And I had to figure out how to speak to them, and I started realizing, in a way, they're right. Jesus said, one man's given 5 talents, one's given 2, and one is given 1. Or a different one, one's given 10, one's given 5. Well, that's not fair. It's right, it's not fair. Some people have more things available to them than to others. Another one of the parables, a man hires these people at a certain wage for the day's labor. In the middle of the day, he says, I need more people, hire them. And at the same rate, or not same rate, same amount. And then for the last hour, I have to look this up if there's anyone who hasn't heard this parable before. And then they're going to get the same amount. And that's not fair. I do think there are things in this life that are not fair. We need to pray for mercy, pray for God's help. There's things, and so on that level, the atheists or the skeptics are right. God is not fair. Why are there children who die of starvation or some disease out in the world, out in the third world or something like that? You know, I don't know. There's just so much I don't know. I know some of the things I need to do, but the big picture, I don't understand it, and I have to admit that. Alan, I'm sorry. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
How? Why did you make me like this? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we should be thankful. It's our attitude, not our status. I appreciate that. I think that's also in Isaiah, but it's worded differently. It's in Jeremiah, not Isaiah. Okay, but it's yes, the Old Testament says that also. The potter and the clay. Bob, did you want to say something? Okay. That's an interesting one. Randy.
Just following up on the importance and the warnings about deception, and Bob touched on the verse in Matthew 24, see to it that no man misleads you. One of the key characteristics of the end times, before Jesus addressed many coming in his name, wars, rumors of wars, etc., in Matthew 24, verse 4 following, first thing you address, see to it that no man misleads
you. You're right.
Or misleads you.
Yes.
Of course, in the New Testament and Old Testament, but Jesus himself said, before I tell you what it's going to look like down the road in the future, beware lest any man deceive
you. You are right. Yeah, and actually, I should have included that. One day I was studying all three versions of that. What is that called? Olivet Discourse. That's it. Or, no, is that it? The Olivet Discourse? Because that's in three of the four Gospels, Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. And the very first thing that Jesus says, take heed that no man deceive you. Take heed that no one deceives you. Take heed that no one deceives you. Wow. That's the first thing he says about our times, about the end times. Did you have your hand raised? Yes? Ow! Hey, I don't like that idea. I'll take 95 degree weather instead, maybe. Okay. And a popsicle if I can get one. Okay, yes, Kathy. Yes.
But will you encourage someone before they will seek the Lord and find out more about him, and they will grow spiritually, or what do you spiritually, and what do people like to speak like, look at you like, what's different with you?
That's right, yeah.
I heard several people come to me, I didn't say a word. Didn't say a word to them. But they knew I was a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to, sometimes I have to say physically, but you just, the way you carry yourself and the way you
sure.
People, and we just need to be more into doing what the Lord wants us to do. Just continue to encourage everybody to be more and more like a Father.
Thank you. Yeah, yes, I agree with you. We are ambassadors, whether we like it or not. We are the only glimpse of Jesus, of Christianity, that many people will see is us, our lives. They might would not come to church. I read a book, and I'm not remembering the title. It's Orange and Purple by an MIT behavioralist, famous guy. And the reason I'm referencing this is because you're talking about us reminding and exhorting one another, right? And he's a behavioralist, and he did all these experiments with people. And so let's say in a restaurant, the first person orders something, and the next person goes, you know, that sounds good. You know, maybe I'll do that. People, how we are. Oh, predictably irrational. That's the title. Predictably irrational is the title of the book. It's about human behavior. And he does all these things, and many of them with students at Harvard and at MIT. No, they're not slouches. These are smart people. But yet they would cheat on their tests just a little bit if they were self-grading. He would mark in a secret way. He would mark each one and then tell them, okay, I want you to do this. And then tell me your grade, how many you got right and wrong, and then throw it away. And then he'd collect them all and then figure out what their percentage of teaching. One day, now this is a secular book. This man's not a Christian at all. I've seen also YouTube videos. He's not a Christian at all. One day he has them read the Ten Commandments and then do the tests, they stop cheating. I'm reading this in the Bible, not in the Bible, I'm sorry, predictably irrational. It's like, wow. I mean, but, going to church at least once a week, hearing Christian radio, it affects us, good and bad. Late night talk shows. Are you listening or watching those just before you go to bed? What's going into your mind, into your soul, just before you're going off to dreamland? See what I'm saying? Early morning radio, some of those shows, how is it legal for them to have that stuff on the radio? Are you listening to that on when? I'm sorry, these things affect you. They affect you as a person, either positive or negative. Just as the Bible will pull us up, or Christian teaching. You don't have to listen to that all the time. But, I mean, what you put into your soul, it's just like food for your body. What you put into your soul affects you. Okay, I'm talking too long here. Other questions, comments, or anything someone has to say? Yes, Jennifer. Thank you for visiting today. I didn't mention you and Daniel. Daniel and Jennifer are here. Yay!
Well, I just wanted to say,
yes.
Kids are a blessing, and I wanted one when we did. And I thought that they were
Yes.
And so next month, maybe September, he will become Jason Daniel.
Okay. Oh, wonderful. Fantastic. So Daniel and Jennifer are here today, and they're the little boy.
And Taco Bell, because I'm telling you, that's Daniel's favorite, and he's been that baby 9 years. Taco Bell and Domino's.
Oh, okay. Okay, thank you so much. Yeah, we need to pray for things. So any other last questions? Comments. Andy, you haven't said anything yet. If you don't say anything, I'm going to ask you to close us in prayer. You want to say something or ask a question? Okay, good. Thank you, Andy. Okay, so now I got to pick on somebody else. Tim didn't say anything. Tim, would you close us in prayer, please?